back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a new year. We're going to be into a new crab cake sometime very soon. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to let ourselves play. I've got, reach down here into my well of goodies, my bag. I have Raven scratch-off tickets that I'm going to be giving out to folks like Leonard Raskin. Anybody who wants to come out and play as we get this thing going. My first stop, as promised, is it Nacho Mama's. I can heartily recommend the burrito quesadilla there and Scunny's salsa. It's very basic, but I love it. And it's not spicy, but you can make it spicy. I am a big, big fan, literally, of the nachos and the salsa at Nacho Mama's. So we're going to get back out and be doing that with good folks like Leonard Raskin. I guess you'll come and join me in Towson because you're Hunt Valley based and like all of that. But this is a weird time, right? We get a holiday week, snowstorm, maybe another snowstorm. It feels like winter, like all of a sudden. But it's really weird watching all these football games. And Joe Ortiz, maybe a Giant, maybe not, wherever we are and all that. But watching all of these games, and they were kind of bad games, right? And now we're just like, here comes the draft. But this Camden Yards thing, dude, this Camden Yards thing.
We're changing the architecture of the greatest stadium in the history of baseball.
Oh, geez. You're like Mueller now with this.
In the recent history of baseball. Look, I haven't been to them all, but I've been to a lot of ballparks. And Camden Yards stands head and shoulders above most. It's really a great place to see a game. Now, I'm not anti-change. I think it's great. Look, we got a couple hitters who can still rock it out there, and that's good. But my goodness, you know, our pitchers' ERAs are like 15. And one of the reasons is that short porch out there and left. So what are they going? They're going 30 feet back and 6 feet up. And it's going to make it a little less of a bandbox, I guess, out there in left field. And I don't think that's too bad. And if nothing else, some balls are going to bounce a little different. It's going to make left field and center field fun to watch this year. Players are going to have to do a little something different. And maybe we win five more games because of it. Fantastic. You know, it's something new. It's something to get people out to the park, I guess. And what the heck, you know, they haven't had anybody out to the park for years. Might as well do something to the stadium to get folks out there. But back to the football for a minute. I was thoroughly thrilled with the weekend's outcomes. Mostly, as we know, I'm not on the Bengals bandwagon.
I wore the turtleneck.
I know.
I wore it, and it was a little tighter. It wasn't as comfortable as I mean, I'm probably not going to wear it so much anymore. I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm not a Bengals fan or whatever, but it has a big orange B on it. So, listen, right. I'm not done with baseball. I want to go back with this because,
yeah,
and we'll get
it
to football. We'll do.
Yeah,
Leonard Raskin is here. He's Raskin Global because we never talk baseball, right?
So, yeah. Well, it's
time. You're one of those. You're an interesting guy in that, like, you manage money. And I've met some of your wealthy friends. You manage millions and billions of dollars and like all that. You've done well for yourself, right? And have your place in Delaware and all that. But you always talk about like growing up poor, and you know where I grew up. My dad was a steel worker,
yeah.
The whole deal, right? Baseball was your first love. Is that fair
Absolutely.
To say that?
Absolutely.
Because it certainly was. But football was not far. And I love the Clippers. My dad didn't know anything about hockey. I love the
hockey
Bullets.
Was my second. Hockey was my first.
Hockey was your first.
Yeah.
So give me that then.
My father was involved with the Clippers.
What does that mean, involved? Tell me that.
He was, I don't even know. First of all, haven't seen the man since I was like 10. So different world. But I remember as a little kid, he was, I'll tell you how involved he was. He was involved with the Clippers. And I think we talked about this one time way back when. Ron Hextall's father, believe, was involved with the Clippers back in the day. And my aunt, my mother's sister, babysat baby Ron. So it was the whole family with the Clippers, with the crew that ran it. He was involved.
What
I think
years
he was
are we
like,
talking here, Leonard? I mean, because
we're
like,
talking
I'll,
late
I'll,
60s.
I'll, okay, so
late
I'll give
60s.
You my first. Talk
I mean,
about
I was
this
skating,
too often.
I
right?
was skating as a little kid. I was on skates. I wanted to play hockey. So all I wanted to do was play hockey. Then I got older and couldn't skate fast enough or well enough. So then it became owning a hockey team. Then I'm not rich enough. So it just became enjoying it. Never owned a stock. So I advise people on money, right? We know that on money, but we don't advise people to own individual stocks. because you never know what's going to happen. You're speculating, you're gambling. So we're not about individual stocks, but NBC Universal, okay, you know, they own Madison Square Garden, which owns the Rangers. Now, I don't root for the Rangers, but I'm a teeny, 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 tiny owner.
Right.
Because if you own a share, you got a share. But that's as close as I'm
getting. It doesn't get you a discount at the Garden, though.
It doesn't do a darn thing. No. Ted Leonsis is not selling me the Caps for a price that I'm willing to afford. So that's not happening.
I always said if I got rich, I would have tried to bring minor league hockey back here. Like at the point 15 years ago when the station was doing well and Brian became a partner of mine, at that point, had we skyrocketed and become a local Facebook and I had done well, which was the plan, by the way. There was a plan for that.
Sure.
Back in 2008 and '09. You know, had that happened, I said if I had FU money and I just literally, if I had stupid money and was going to be a benefactor to the community, I would have wanted to own a minor league hockey team. I don't harbor that thought anymore, but I went to my first Clippers games in 73 and what it was, I wanted to go see the Harlem Globetrotters. I'm pretty sure that was my fascination, that Evel Knievel, 1973. So think of it, Snake River Canyon.
My
world of sports. My dad was so into sports. My dad was into boxing, basketball.
We were jumping big wheels over like three bikes.
Born in 68, so I'm like 4 years old at the time, right?
So my dad,
we went to Colts games. My first Colts game was in 73. I saw Joe Namath. So I was 4 years old, almost five. I remember it vividly. My dad bought me a Houston Oiler, almost the same color as your Raskin Global shirt. A Houston Oiler pennant and Dan Pastorini. Campbell wasn't even there yet. But the Orioles, I mean, my last name's Aparicio, so like I have this picture of me with Luis with a ball at Memorial Stadium outside the Bird Feed Room, and that was in 73 as well. Louis didn't play in 74, he played in 73. So that period of my life, my dad had lost his son in a drowning in 1969. I was a bit of a replacement child adopted. So, and like a lot of weird stuff that it took me 40 years to unpack, still unpacking 53 years later.
But
at this point in my life, I love sports and my dad loved that. Like I like to read. I was smart. I was, you know, I read when I was 4 years old, like for real, read the newspaper and I was into sports. So my dad put me on the bus and took me down to a hockey game. I don't even know how it happened, but like, I totally remember the hockey game rocking my world. And I bought a schedule and a program. And all I wanted to do was go see the Nova Scotia Voyageurs and the Springfield Indians and the New Haven Nighthawks and the Hershey Bears.
So
when Hershey, that was like chocolate. I made my dad take me down there. And so, and my dad, you know, my dad was afraid of the city and the city was rough in the early 70s. We're talking, and you know, my dad was an older man at the time. So in cold winter nights, taking the bus, literally, into the city. We waited in the cold in front of the McDonald's up on Baltimore Street for the 23 bus. And you're like, hockey? So that wasn't my first love, though. So I guess my point is this. My first love was baseball. As much as I'm known as the Ravens guy, and I wrote a book about baseball when in 06 on Free the Birds, right? Baseball was my first love. And this piece of the last week of the fence is the first time, like, I feel like we've had a debate amongst all white guys like me and you. Was baseball like a 79? Was that all a big part of your life?
Oh, yeah.
You and I never talk baseball.
No, absolutely. I was going to games way, way more baseball than hockey, sure. And the Orioles were it. And again, we were poor. So going back in the day, you know, getting to a baseball game was a big deal. And when I was a little kid, and so 79, you know, I'm 15. My aunt and uncle for my birthday, because again, October, for my birthday, took me to the playoffs. John Lowenstein, you know.
Oh man, see, I was at those
sitting
games,
up on the stretcher. Come on,
I was at that game. That
was beautiful.
Those are shared memories, dude. We're talking like you're from one side of town. You know, we mingle through sport. This is what sports does.
That's right.
A guy like you next to a guy like me in 1979. You're a little older than me. You're like, oh, is that your grandfather? No, that's my pop. And then my pop would say, oh, he's related to Louis Aparicio. And your dad would say, I saw him play with the White Sox in 66 with the Orioles.
Back in the day, I guess it was 83, right? The World Series year. The night Chicago died, blaring off the speakers at what was then
Lamar Hoyt, who just passed away.
What was it? I guess it might have been BWI. It wasn't Friendship back then. It was already, I think, BWI. Standing out by the fence, 11 o'clock at night when the Orioles came home from Chicago, you know, screaming. And then the World Series, just nothing better.
Tito Landrum, yeah. Baby, right?
Oh, man. And also in my neighborhood. So I grew up again. You know, we were poor. We lived in apartments in Randallstown. But oddly enough, because these were the days, right, in the 70s, late 70s, Mike Cuellar lived in our neighborhood. And later on, Dennis Martinez and a family of, I don't know, 12 or something, you know, lived in our neighborhood and would hang out at the pool. So it was really cool. You got to see these guys, and it was like, oh my God, Dennis Martinez is here, or Mike Cuellar's here. And it was really cool. And I remember going, walking up to the corner from the neighborhood. We'd walk out the neighborhood, up to the corner was the Crown gas station. And Brooks would come and sign autographs at the Crown.
See, this is what made us love baseball
enough. It was
that
phenomenal.
42 years later, they're moving a piece of Camden Yards, and we care enough to pay attention. And by the way, they're locked out. Like they don't even have a website right now.
Right.
They don't
have
a schedule. You can't buy
anything.
A ticket, right? But we're here on the radio and we're like, okay, so what do you think of it? I am just as a sports radio guy, as the anti-Angelos guy, and like all of that stuff,
right.
And the
average, right.
I have no opinion on it other than it smacks of some sort of weird desperation in some way. And anybody that wants to paint the history, I've written the history of the team, right? I've been here for all of it.
If anybody
thinks they were ever going to sign a pitcher, not because of the ballpark, they never were going to pay a pitcher. You know, that was literally, it wasn't about, I'm not going to come pitch there because I'm going to give up home runs. That was a convenient excuse to say, well, that's why Maddox will never sign here. That's why fly ball pitchers, that's why Messina left, because he was afraid of the ball. But like, that was their bullshit that they used to give everybody, you know?
For big coin and the World Series. He left for big coin, which I don't forgive him for. I forgive him for leaving, but not for signing with the evil empire. But where
else was
he going
to go? That
was
one of the weirdest days of my life. Because, you know, he and I were close,
strange.
Right? Like his brother still comes
up.
I mean, Mike and I were very, very, we were close. We went out drinking together all the time. We went to concerts together. I was in his home. He was in my home. We were friends, Mike and I. And then I am literally, the day he signed in New York, and I knew all of it because we were friends. I mean, Mark worked for me.
Right.
Mark lived on my couch. Mark was in my building five days a week. So the day it was happening, I was nationally syndicated. It's when I was in Chicago, and I was in the Northbrook Studios in there, and everybody there was Cubs and White Sox, and that was a healthy, and they all loved hockey. Ed Marut, those guys were the best, man. I worked in this organization of dudes, you know, in Northbrook, Illinois, at Sporting News Radio, and man, when Messina was on the monitors, because I was about to come on the air. It was a midday press conference in New York.
Yeah.
We had all the televisions, you know, for TBS and
buttoning up his pinstripes.
Oh my God. And when he put that Yankee cap on, all the guys were there, all the producers, Cliffy, all the guys that produced me, and I'm Mr. Baltimore. And the Ravens just won the World Series or won the Super Bowl. So like I'm Nasty Nationwide, all that. Oh my God, the core. There were eight guys in the production room, like, oh, that's your boy. That's your boy. That's Messina. He's a Yankee. Mm. I wouldn't even get
into
Orioles.
He's going
fans.
To play. He's going to play with Jeffrey Mayer.
See, I mean,
day.
We can relive the
worst
pain.
Day.
That's 20 years
day.
Ago. 20
crazy.
Years ago. So the bullpen thing. So give me business-wise, baseball-wise, fan-wise, little Leonard Raskin, 33rd Street. What do you think of them doing this?
I think it's okay. I'm interested in what it looks like. You know, like I said, it was the coolest stadium. It's got great everything about the stadium. I want to know who designed it. I want to know who decided. Let's
You're never going to find that. So you need a guy like me to ask questions, right?
Right. Let's rip out left field. Let's get rid of, what's that, 10 rows of seats? Maybe.
Well, the people that lost their seats, they found out on the internet the other day.
Yeah. What if that was your ticket? Did people have season tickets on the fence? Not anymore. So so do they move everybody back and then the people in the back just like get bumped upstairs? I don't know. They take you out, they put you back. I don't know. They knock out how many rows, whatever that is. They raise the wall. They could have just raised the wall.
Can you imagine back when they sold 3 million tickets, them doing this and really pissing off 1,200 fans?
No, that would have never happened.
Do you remember how pissed off people were in 92 when Angelos usurped their seats and moved them from behind home plate down behind first base and up 15 rows? People were irate. It was the beginning of my career.
Apoplectic.
Dude,
people
it was
nuts.
World War family heirloom. You've tread upon my turf. Like, we felt that way maybe about PSLs 20 years ago. Now I've let mine go and Chad Steele chased me out and here we are. So, like, it is really weird. That's why I can't get, like, oh, those greedy they're giving up seats. They're not making more money. What they think is that they're good. Their young pitchers are going to feel better in the head by not giving up home runs.
Yep.
They feel like maybe there's more doubles and triples action. Okay. But to your point, is this John Angelos' idea or Michael? Who do we call that? If we call it the pesky pole at Fenway Park, what are we going to call the left field power alley at Camden Yards? The Elias Gap?
Know.
Is that what we're going to call it?
I think it's going to be the Adley Rutschman wall.
Well, hey, hang on a second. They just cost Adley Rutschman 30 to 50 home runs during the course of his career if he's going to hit 500, right? Like literally. They just made Adley Rutschman a 27 home run guy instead of a 42 home run guy.
It's the Adley wall. He's going to hit the wall a lot, I guess.
We could probably sit here and talk all day from the baseball perspective of what it does, but like I'm not mad about it.
Not at all. I think it'll be interesting to see.
Well, you're a guy that like Luke told me this and I didn't know this. They've branded Camden Yards as the stadium that changed the world, or like they have a phrase that's trademarked, literally. And to your point, you were like, they're changing this place that's been so special. And so I don't feel that. Like, blush. Moeller and I got in a fight about it the other day because I said, Camden Yards is nothing special. And he's like, bah, 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 bah. like I kicked his mother. You know what I mean? I'm like, whoa. Nothing big. I mean, Ripken happened there 26 years ago and ran the left field wall
time.
Or whatever.
Right.
But like moving that wall back, the only one that's going to know it's you. Your grandkids are never going to think anything about it, but it's fundamentally going to change the way
but
the
ball I'll tell
plays.
You, I have friends that come here to visit from all over the country, sports fans' friends. They go there and they're just mystified by the place. It blows them away. The concourse, the dimensions, the warehouse, they just love the stadium. You know, they think it's amazing. And these are guys from New York and Boston and Chicago and LA. And they just think Camden Yards is the bomb.
Well, and I'll tell
it.
You what, and now you're saying to me, they're changing it. Maybe it won't be as attractive.
No,
I don't know.
I don't think so, though.
I don't think people will ever
know. No, I don't think it's going to make a bit of difference. You come, you get a crab cake, you get some Boog's barbecue, you sit out, watch a beautiful game on a beautiful day. You know, I don't think there's a finer day than a nice Sunday afternoon at the ballpark in the spring or the fall.
I liked last Sunday better, the one where the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Steelers all got eliminated. That was as good a Sunday as you're ever going to find.
Look, Dak Prescott running the ball with 14 seconds left to let the clock run out. Stupid. I don't get that call. I don't care what Mike McCarthy says. Stupid. I loved watching Kansas City torch the Squealers. Nothing finer than seeing the Squealers go down. I don't care if it's the Penguins, the Pirates, the Squealers. Nothing better than seeing Pittsburgh lose. The whole world is bowing down and talking about how great Ben is or Ben was. I think Ben was 2 years past retirement. He should have gone 2 years ago. Instead, he stuck around to stink, got lucky to get into the playoffs, and then showed last night, well, this weekend, he couldn't play. Let's face it, he couldn't throw the ball down the field if he had Tyreek Hill on his team.
You're wearing red right now, by the way. And it feels to me like Kansas City's not going to be stopped. But this Brady Rodgers, this is a good tournament. They're good teams in this tournament. Cincinnati, watch out for Cincinnati. Watch out for Buffalo.
I don't think Cincinnati gets past next week. I'll be shocked if they get past another week. but they won a playoff game, first time in what, 30 years. Good for them. Unfortunately, Marvin, all those years, had all those decent teams, first place, second place, wild card, whatever it was, could never win a playoff game.
Well, I had Marvin on. Yeah, I had Marvin on 2 weeks ago, and it's really incredible because I saw the highlights again the other night, and I was wearing that crazy turtleneck he sent me with the big orange B on it. And like the end of that game, and Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man Jones, and like all the mayhem that took place when the game was won. They won the, you know, like how that would have changed the whole vibe of all of it had they just walked off the field and won that football game. Leonard, you know, I will get together again, and we're going to continue to talk about all of this. Tell everybody about Money Year this year, because I know you have an event coming up March 8th. I want to give you a chance to at least start. And we're going to, obviously, we got Super Bowl, we got all sorts of things going on here, but you're getting ahead of this. It is a weird time. It's a weird month. The mask, everybody's got COVID. I think we're going to get over that hump in the next couple of weeks, but you're planning for March, and I'm planning crab cake tours, man.
Absolutely. March 8th, Tuesday night. We're going to Zoom out. We're not doing it in person yet, just because, well, we may end up doing it in person and Zoom. We're not sure yet, but it's going to absolutely be a Zoom. To Your Money, 6 o'clock, To Your Money, talking about the basics. We're going to be talking about cash flow. We're going to be talking about protection. We're going to be talking about home ownership and mortgages. We're going to be talking about taxes. We're going to be talking about how to invest your money. But the basics, this is laying down the baseline for what you need to know to have more, enjoy more, do more with your money. And it's coming up starting in March. And we're going to be doing a session every month. There'll be something topical talking about money, To Your Money. We're going to toast to your money and to your wealth and making it happen in 2022.
He is Leonard Raskin. It is Raskin Global. You can find him out there. You can find him out in front of BaltimorePositive.com as well. We're going to get together next week, be talking about the Final Four and the Super Bowl. And we'll go back to Caps and Clippers. I want to pick up that hockey conversation because, you know, this is a time of the year where I miss hockey. When football goes, you know, like you get out of that groove, this was where hockey started to pick up much earlier than some people wait till April, right? But this is hockey time. You got your red on there. We're going to let him rock his red. Leonard Raskin, Raskin Global, we appreciate you. We'll see you out of Baltimore Positive. And anywhere good advice is needed, they're there for you at RaskinGlobal.com. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.